Radio.
Africa, for the Africans, Asia for the Asians, white countries for everyone. There's no place if not in Europe, no chance for ethnic purity. No one ever says this about African or Asian countries. There's no justification. Open up your eyes, then you realize they were genocide.
Any racist is a cold word for
hate. Tell them once again, no one's trying to plan out the African.
Any racist is a cold word for hate.
Open up your eyes, then you realize they were genocide.
Any racist is a cold word for
hate. Tell them once again, no one's trying to plan out the African.
Anti-racist is a code word for anti-white.
Welcome to the Renegade Roundtable. This is Kyle Hunt. You are listening to RenegadeBroadcasting.com. It is September 7th, 2013. Thank you so much for joining me here this Saturday evening. I'd like to put out the call early for you to call in. The call-in number is 347-633-9657. Again, 347-633-9657. I hope you've been catching all the shows here at RenegadeBroadcasting.com. A great week of shows, in my opinion. David's got a special up there, part two about Texas. Yesterday, Siegfried had Dana on, and they had a great show together. And then on Thursday, Mike did his regular show, Reconstructions Live, and absolutely did an amazing job talking about the prison industrial complex, the American Gulag system. Really important shows. But here's the thing. So many of these shows we do, the material covered in those shows is enough to just completely blow this facade of beneficence on the part of our leaders to pieces. It's a facade of beneficence while they absolutely loot, exploit, enslave, and murder us. And then on Wednesday, Mike had another great show. He filled in for Dana, who was unable to make his own show. Great show, a bit more comedy in that one. And really, check out all of the shows. Dana had actually filled in on Tuesday night and done a really good show. took some callers, and I'm really impressed just with how willing and able the hosts are to just fill in when needed and put together really great shows at the last minute. On Monday, I had Urban Jungle Girl on my show, one of the highest rated shows I've ever had. So she really put together quite a show for me there. A lot of people enjoyed hearing her, so thanks a lot to her. And hey, but there's even a show up there by Francois still on the front page as he's getting into some of the Quebec, no, I don't even know Quebec, just some of the Canadian history there. If you can get past the accent, he's saying some really interesting things. And then David in Texas on his regular Sunday show. I think he's having Eric from the American Freedom Party on his next show. So that is something to check out. I'm always kind of interested to hear what's going on with that situation. And it seems Eric has a lot of ideas about where it should be going and how it can improve itself as a party for white people, for Aryans. And I know a lot of other people have some ideas as to, you know, really what the American Freedom Party could achieve. You know, a lot of people have become disillusioned with the political system, such as myself. But I think it is important to have some of these institutions to legitimize what it is that we are doing. I think that that is a really important part of everything that's going on, is bringing this to the mainstream so it doesn't seem so wacky and out there and marginalized. Actually, there was a banner that was put up over a highway recently saying anti-racism is a code word for anti-white, and it was taken down. But that photo got more than a million views, apparently, of that banner, wherever it was uploaded. So this is getting a lot of attention. It really is. As for the question in the chat, whether or not I'm on the toilet because of the echoey sound, no, I am not. I am in a small office room. Perhaps I will open the door. Maybe that will reduce the echo a little bit. Just don't want to... Yeah, never mind. Folks, I want you to call in. I don't have anybody else here, any other hosts on the network yet, so I would like to hear what you have to say about this all. Let me just reflect upon Mike's show he did about the private prison industry. Really, really fascinating material. It ties in to so much. As he was talking about all this outsourcing that was taking place, it was only temporary, so that they could install slave labor through the private prison system here in the United States. And when an economy is in the toilet, then more and more people will turn to vices, right, which are heavily criminalized, and they will end up in the prison system. Black power, white power, Mexican power, whatever it is that people are also fighting for. These are things that, well, probably not the black power and the Mexican power, at least at this stage in the game. But if you are fighting for at least your race as a white person, you are you're a target for these people to end up in slave labor, working for way less than minimum wage for those damn Jew corporations you were trying to fight against on the outside. Really, really awful. But they don't really care about the blacks or the Mexicans. They'll throw them in there. Sure, put them in there. Some more residents at their gulag system camps there, the concentration camps. Here, concentrate on the tasks you're doing while you make us lots and lots of shekels. Oh, Oy vey. We're number one. We're number one, folks. We are number one in number of and percentage of people locked up in any nation in the world. Oh, Pat, let's pat ourselves on the back. What a great country. What a great country. Land of the free. Land of the free. Can you believe it? Land of the free. So, as I was saying, during hardships where they really are able to squeeze more and more out of us, take all of our foreclosed homes and whatnot, more and more people turn to criminal activity in one way or another. Whether it's just doing drugs to escape the terrible situation we find ourselves in, or maybe they turn to theft or whatever it is. With all this gangster rap that's being pushed, they're making money at every single level. You know, selling the CDs, let's say, selling the weapons on the black market, all of the drug trade. Who's profiting? Then they go into the court system. Who's profiting? Then they go into the private prison industry. And who's profiting? It's incredible. And people should go and check out my archives as well. When I talked to Sinead about the troubled teen industry, that's really something that I had no idea about. I had seen, you know, maybe when I was younger on those talk shows, those really trashy ones about boot camps for children, but I didn't know the full extent of what was going on, the psychological torture, manipulation, and how much it's costing their parents as well. And who ends up footing the bill for all of this? Well, of course, we do. Our children and our grandchildren and beyond are sold into servitude. Even if we're not in the private prison industry, we are wage slaves paying for all of this to be operated. Oh, but we're free because we can go purchase those those goods that are now at a sale price because they were produced by slave labor. How free. Wow. I love the advances of this civilized world. People, I want you to call in. Let me know what you think. 347-633-9657. There's a lot going on in the news. It looks like they're backing down a little bit from this attack on Syria. I'm not sure, but it does seem like, although many of these talking heads are trying to push it, there is a groundswell against it, and it is not very advisable for this Israeli plan to be enacted, this Jewish power play to unfold. I wrote about this over at RenegadeTribune.com. So if you haven't yet checked out that article and all of the good articles that are over there, please do go over to RenegadeTribune.com. A lot of great contributors. I'm looking in the post queue because I can see what drafts are there before they're published. And it looks like we've got a lot of great stuff coming up. So very exciting having all of this, all of you guys out there who are often, you know, listening and maybe commenting on the shows, it's great to see you all contributing to what we're doing and really stepping up to the plate with some great material. And just another thing to be excited about in the near future. Also, there is the documentary we are going to be doing. We are waiting for the fall, and in the fall we are going to be going on tour. We're going to be taking this show on the road, and hopefully we'll still be able to do our shows during the week, because all we really need, if we're able to set up the show page, maybe set up some recurring episodes, we're just going to need to be able to call in to the show. We can interview people that we're meeting with. We can just pass the phone around. Even if it's not a full 2-hour show, hopefully we'll be communicating with you all during this entire process. And I'm not sure when that documentary is going to be completed. It might fall upon me to edit that documentary. I can try to step up to the plate, perhaps get some better software for editing rather than the free stuff I've been using. We'll see. We'll see who takes an interest in this and how much funding we get. Another thing to thank you guys out there for who have contributed, either in the past or now for the Renegade Roadshow, which can be found on the right sidebar of the site. I'm overwhelmed with the contributions we've received thus far. Not necessarily the number, but the amount. Very, very glad for it. But the thing is, although I set the goal fairly low, that was because who we're going through takes a larger cut if we don't reach that goal. So I wanted to make sure that we would do that so we didn't have to give a larger cut. But we really do need a significant amount for this trip. We'll probably be paying some out of pocket regardless, unless people really do step up and contribute a lot to the project. And even if it's something small, just showing a token sign of support, we'd love to see it and would really appreciate it. And it will help us to get the rental van or whatever it is that we'll be taking. I'd like a minivan, to be honest, like maybe an SUV type of minivan, but that would be ideal. Gas is pretty expensive. We know about that. And Mike and I will be flying out to California for a super secret event that we will be documenting. And much more, really. This is going to be, I think Siegfried and Dana are going to have to fly back up to where they live once we end the tour down south. So there is a lot of expense that this is going to entail. We'll probably have to stay in some motels along the way as well. But if you'd like to donate perhaps your house to us, donate your time, please do get in contact. There's a contact page over at RenegadeTribune.com. You can reach me directly through that. So however you can support us, please think about doing so. We really couldn't do this all without you, seriously, very literally. See, I don't even know if I'm on the air right now. Nobody's calling in. It's a round table. I'm just yakety-yak here. So please, 347-633-9657. This is a call-a-thon, and right now it's just me begging you out there for your support, people. Let us see it. Looking for a song to go to here while I get myself set up. Was hoping that there would be people who would be joining me, as oftentimes it seems that people have much to say. Not even any troll calls. We were heavily trolled last week. That was, it's almost surreal when you have your whole entire call board lighting up. I think the stats said it was something like 45 people called in to last week's show. Yeah, it's, maybe we're striking a nerve. I tend to think that we are. Yeah, not really seeing too much here that I'd like to play. Some Danzig. Yeah, Danzig, all right. Got a lot of Dana's hardcore type of pagan metal or whatever the genre is that would be, black metal. A lot of Siegfried's classical music back here. Got David's 70s tunes. We got a lot here. Let's see. There we go.
Ready, Greg?
I don't care.
Kevin?
Yeah!
James?
Satan!
All right, fellas, let's go! Oh, it's been getting so hard living with what society does to me. Our dreams are getting so strange. We'd like to tell you everything we see. One. Oh, yeah, it was like lightning. Everybody was fighting, and the music was crappy, and they all started dropping. Yeah. We talked to the back of the house, and we talked to the bar. And we had to go in the court of all, and we wanted to go to the bar. And we drinking beer is all we ever do. We stop, we call you over. When you appear, there's nothing left of you. And the cop in the back is ready to crack as he raises his club to the sky. And the girl in the corner is everyone's worst until even the wink of her eye. Oh, yeah, it was electric. So frantically hectic. And the music was trashy. And the outfit is trashy.
A good 2 minute song to bring me through, and now we got a caller on the line, so let's go to this call. 661, you are on the air. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, how you doing there, Kyle? This is Wolf Wall Street calling in.
Wolf.
And yes, and I see.
Welcome.
Since I wasn't going to mention this tonight, but I see since it's already on the board about Deanna Spingola, she will be kicked off of RBN or she will just leave. And I mentioned to her about Renegade, but I don't think really Renegade is her cup of tea. She's a Christian.
No, I don't think it's a good fit. Although, you
no,
know
it
what?
Isn't. It isn't.
I wouldn't mind having Deanna around. I think she puts on some good shows if she's mm-hmm. you know, not restrained by the people over at RBN. But
that's
you
true.
Know, I'm actually surprised that. And listen, I don't agree with her on a lot of points, but she puts out some good information, and she's passionate about what she does. But I can't believe she's actually lasted this long over at RBN.
Yeah, well, they, you know, you hear at times she mentions on the show that the Skype is being tampered with and stuff like that. I'm beginning to think it's actually RBN that's doing that stuff and not the Kike Jews. But who knows, you know, I'm just speculating. The thing with RBN is I knew in particular as soon as they got syndicated on the satellite, that was it. And so they, you know, that's impossible without cowing to the Jews, at least to a large degree. And the left-wing Jews are probably the ones that are going along with RBN. I don't think the right-wing Jews would, because the left-wing ones are the ones who are muting the Syria deal. And that was another thing I wanted to talk about, but it's this guy, I just put it in the chat, and I don't have any of you guys' email addresses. I had Dana's for a while, and I don't know what happens to it. It seems like every time I send it out, it disappears. But I'd like to get you on my email list. I sent out a thing tonight about this sheikh. I don't know if he's Sufi or, you know, but he's a Muslim eschatologist. Now, I'm not into the religion and, you know, that kind of stuff, but he uses his eschatological point of view to look at history and to look at current events. And because of that, it makes him go into certain areas that would be completely missed. And he just came out with a show, which I happened to pass along to Deanna Spingola. And I don't think she'll ever be able to get him as a guest. He's just too much in demand, but maybe, because he has been on with this guy, Morris 108, who's the Jew over in London.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I used to subscribe to him. I don't anymore. He's too far out. I think he was originally a palm reader in Spain. I did a Google search on him, and the only one I could find with that number, Morris 108, was some palm reader in Spain. But my point is that he has been able to interview this guy, Sheikh Imran Hussein. And so maybe she will be able to get him on. But what he went into, and I did post the link before, is just exactly what happened between Morsi and the military and what's going on right now in the Middle East, in the Southwest Asia there, around Syria and everything leading up to it. And a real good YouTube video. However, the sound quality is pretty bad. But that, and you know, you're going to accuse me of being a Muslim. That, and I sent out the other day, I think it was yesterday, it may have been the day before, a Ugly Truth broadcast by this guy, Jonathan Azaziah. Now, again, I'm no Muslim, and I'm not pushing it for that reason. But
nor a communist, I don't think, right? he seems to lean to the commie side quite a bit, and it's definitely not a white racialist. But
he did a long one show long attack on the CI people, and but my point is that I listen to these people just like a lot of our folks go to these Jewish sites for information. I listen to these people. I listen to him. And I listen to Hussein. I don't listen to everybody over at the Ugly Truth because they're just ranting. But this guy comes up with real information. He comes up with real on-the-ground stuff that only a guy like him could, even though his mother is Jewish, but he sounds like he is really into this Muslim thing. But
well, he seems to know a lot about what's going on. He really researches the Middle East much more than somebody like myself does. For sure.
Well, the thing is, he's got contacts on the ground, which is huge. And it's the same thing with this guy, Imran Hussein. He's driven by this Muslim eschatology stuff. But more importantly, he's got contacts all over the place. So it's that which you glean from it. And he came out with some real interesting stuff today. I kind of hope it's real because it would mute the forces that are now pushing for war, these crazy neocon kite Jews that are pushing for war over there. Everybody says it's for the oil, for this or that. Well, in the end, it's for the kite Jew, and it's for greater Israel. And,
let's talk about that oil. Have you heard about the pipeline that was being constructed in Syria that was seen as a huge threat, I guess, to Western power, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the oil conglomerates in general, that was basically going to be something of a shortcut route. And this was started in 2011 at the same time that this uprising seemed to come out of nowhere, spurred on by the Arab Spring.
Right. And I believe that Hussein actually goes into that. He goes into a lot of the things that are already known up to this point. Real interesting stuff. Even if you don't get into the religious stuff, but go into his interpretation, real interesting stuff. Yeah, and he mentions that, I'm pretty sure, and I know somebody else did too. It's becoming common knowledge. And I think it's a natural gas pipeline. I don't think it's oil.
Okay.
But maybe it is both. It could be both.
Yeah, actually, I had Dennis Fetcho on my show when I was over at Oracle before that collapsed, and Bob Tuskin went to RBN and all the rest. But we were talking about that pipeline, and it seems to be actually pretty important to geopolitics of that region right now. And it does seem to be tied in for sure, but there are so many other things at play here. And they just seem to want complete destabilization, trying to bomb people back to the Stone Age, right? To not have any kind of threat in terms of a nationalistic government or anything that isn't controlled by the radical sects or the Jewish power. You know, it's all tied together, either out of Saudi Arabia or Qatar. They're pushing for this complete the Wahhabism, the Salafism. And they do not want to see moderate governments in the Middle East, whether it's in Egypt or Syria or Lebanon. They do not want to see something getting out of control. They want to control all the opposition. Huh. Like they've done with Hamas, like they've done in the United States. You could go on and on. But I think perhaps with the situation in Syria, they're finding that people have gotten tired enough, unless this is all just one big show game again, kind of like the Cold War, where they're making us think that there are sides opposing each other so they can, you know, further their ends. But to be honest, I actually think that Assad is trying to do what's right for his people and stand up against these powers. He's allied with Russia, and I question Putin. I really do. I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt there. A lot of people like to do so. And China. I don't like China. I really don't. But Syria does need to have some backers in this situation when being confronted at this level. But it seems to be kind of manufactured, because who's the United States' best buddy in so many instances besides Israel? China.
Well, they use each other. I mean, China is Kaiju, has got a lot of Kaiju control there. The Lubavitchers have offices in Shanghai, Peking. They've got offices now in Saigon City and things like that. Plus, they've been there forever and a day, and they were on the Politburo when Mao was in charge. So now I'm trying to put this link, and I can't seem to get it on. Maybe it's because I have a timer on it to get it to the 54-minute mark. But for some reason, the link just, there's nothing there when I stick it on. And I'll try it without the timer, but then you're going to have to jump ahead to 54 minutes.
Know,
in the chat, I mean.
You can give that a try. Sometimes when it's trying to embed and it just doesn't work correctly. But if you put a space in the link, so then people can take out that space, then it will probably go through.
At the beginning, you mean, or what?
Yeah, you know, after like HTTP, or you can put a space in there, then they copy and paste it.
I got you. Yeah. Well, I'm going to try this one more time. Okay, there's the whole thing. Apparently, it doesn't let you see. I timed them to get to the right spot, and I'll put the time in. The time is at 54 minutes and 30 seconds.
Let me.
And there you go.
Let me say who this is. This is Imran N. Hossein.
Imran Nizar Hussein, Hossein, and he's a Muslim eschatologist, and a lot of people over on that side respect this guy as being one of the only people that is not caught in either the left or the right. You know, he's not caught in it. He sticks to his Quran, and that's what inspires him to delve deeper into these items. And I'm not into the religious side of it, but I am into the inspiration side.
How long do you want people to listen to this clip here? How long is the section of audio?
The clip is an hour and 15 minutes long. You can start at about, to go into the whole history that we were just talking about, you can start at about 12 and a half minutes. But the new information, for folks that are already familiar with the guy, it starts at about 54 and a half minutes. And I couldn't put those times in for some reason. But and I'd like to get it around. So I've got to get you guys' email addresses and stick them on my list, because, you know, I put stuff out all the time and nobody seems to, on your side, seems to get it. And or at least it's not acknowledged. And I sometimes put out pretty good stuff. Go ahead.
I can actually play this clip. We want to go about 2 minutes of this. We'll come back and hopefully we'll get some more callers on the roundtable here. It's 347-633.
Excuse me. If you play it, we'll start at the news stuff at 54:30.
Okay.
And understand this: he intersperses English with Arabic. And I forgot, when I sent out my email, I forgot to tell people that. I said, if you don't understand anything, just phonetically get it back to me, and I'll figure it out. I do understand most of it. But I think it's a good idea. Start at about 54 minutes, and it'll go it'll go about 20 minutes if you want to go right near the end. And maybe about 17.
I'll play just some of it, and hopefully we'll get some callers on the line. We'll come back from it. 347-633-9657.
That ship. And you abandoned the Quran, and you abandoned. So this is what the Quran did. And they became president, government. When the Quran became the government of Egypt through this method, which is in violation of the Quran and Sunnah, they didn't brought a constitution to the country. Nabi Muhammad alayhi salam also gave a constitution to Medina. It's called the Nisa. But he did it over patient negotiations over a period of 7 months. And he used the constitution to unite the people. Jewish tribes were conflict with each other. Arab pagan tribes were conflict with each other. And he united them all. The constitutional sunnah is that the constitution is used to unite the people. The Quran used the constitution to divide Egypt, but Egypt has never been divided before. The Quran is making mistake after mistake. When they did that last December, I gave a lecture in Malaysia, and I said, the Quran is now taking Egypt to civil war. That was 8 months ago, I said it. And when all of Egypt came out on the streets demonstrating against the Quran, the armed forces got an opportunity for revenge. Yes. And they took it. And they deposed Morsi and they took over the country. Because the Quran had taken the country from them. They had been ruling all the time. But then something strange happened. And this is a new analysis that comes tonight in this lecture that my students around the world will be looking forward to. Something strange happened when the Egyptian armed forces deposed Morsi, the coup d'etat. And we thought that maybe the Zionists have lost one here because they wanted these Islamic governments. The United States, Britain, and Europe are all very angry with the armed forces. They say, no, this is not democracy. Morsi must be released. He's on the house arrest, I suppose. He came. And the government must be restored, says Washington and London and Paris and so on. But the Egyptian armed forces is not listening to them. No. Then Washington said, we're going to cut off the aid. Because Washington has been giving Egypt a lot of aid. As a result of which the Egyptian economy is surviving. Without that aid, it's gone. When Washington said, we're going to give up the aid, take away the aid that we're giving you unless you can restore the economy. Guess what Saudi Arabia did? For the last 70 years or 80 years, Saudi Arabia has been in business. Saudi Arabia has been a very meek follower, camp follower of Uncle Sam, like the American Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. No. Never stepping out of line, always following Uncle Sam. Iran and Saudi Arabia were very friendly with each other for many, many years. And when Iran took power in Egypt, the Saudis were bankrolling Iran, providing them with funds, providing them with support. And Iran turned to Saudi Arabia for religious inspiration. Saudi Arabia now does something strange. They immediately, the Egyptian armed forces took over the country, the Saudis dumped Ikhwan. The Saudis say they are terrorists.
All right. Welcome back to the Renegade Roundtable. If you want to check that out, that video was posted over at the RenegadeBroadcasting.com chat. That was Imran N. Hossein. News September 2013, talking about the events going on in the Middle East. You know what? I'm going to get Wolf back on here to actually wrap up that area of the conversation. And I want to bring it back a little bit closer to home, maybe deal with a little bit of the history of the white people struggling in America. But, you know, because I think we get lost often with all the things that can be shown in terms of injustice abroad, which there's plenty of. You know, it seems like we're just whining and complaining. Oh, well, all of these whites in America with their white privilege think they have it so good while, you know, everybody else around the world is getting bombed. I've got some, examples of, you know, how that's happening and has happened to us here in the United States as well. But Wolf, anything you want to say about what's going on in the Middle East, how it relates to us, to our struggle, and just overall how this could affect the world we're going to be living in moving forward?
Well, it certainly does, although not directly. I know Tom Metzger and I have arguments about this quite often, because I consider the kaiju the number one problem, along with our own psychological immune deficiency, our gullibility and greed. But until we take out that problem, we won't be able to solve all the others. But the thing is, I just want to point out one thing there. What the most important aspect about that last 20 minutes on that is, he said that Russia let people know, including Saudi Arabia, that if Syria is attacked, Russia will attack Saudi Arabia. That's news. And I don't know how many people knew about that. And I haven't seen it verified from a second source myself, so I always like two unique sources. The only source I have right now is this one. And the reason that came about is because of what was happening in Egypt and the fact that when Saudi Arabia heard that they would be attacked by Russia, they backed the military, which tends to be secular in Egypt, against the Ikhwan, or the Muslim Brotherhood, which Morsi was a Muslim Brotherhood candidate. So it starts putting everything into perspective. Just to give people, you know, I'm not pushing this as the only thing to think about. Our white survival is number one, especially to us, obviously. But it helps to put things in perspective as to who are the good guys, who are the bad guys, or at least close to those two memes, as opposed to the garbage that we get on mainstream media, and too often these days, the crap we get way overboard throughout the Internet. I mean, you know, the kike Jews are out there obfuscating like mad. So, that's how I believe it connects to us.
Well, I didn't see that Russia had made the statement that they would attack Saudi Arabia. That's news to me. You know what I did see in the mainstream headlines today, maybe yesterday, was that there's a threat to rape Obama's daughter. Now, I guess maybe somebody in Iran had said this. No, come on. This is just disgusting propaganda. Oh, they're coming after Obama's daughter. They say they're going to rape her. Oh, we better intervene. That, I mean, we can't have people saying such things abroad. We better just bomb anybody who even says anything close to that. Oh, geez, I couldn't imagine how offended they must feel. Let's bomb the world.
Well, you know what? They're going to bomb it whether we like it or not, no matter what excuse they use. I mean, it doesn't matter. 90% of the people
they
in this country.
Have.
Yeah. Well,
They bombed Damascus.
When did they bomb
Damascus?
Now
they're just talking about putting boots on the ground, getting people
when,
in there.
When did they bomb Damascus?
Well, that was something that I think Israel took credit for. But Damascus was bombed a few months ago.
Oh, yeah, by that possible tech. That bunker buster. Yeah,
yeah,
that
we didn't. We didn't hear much
that.
More about that.
No,
after
but
it happened.
I saw the video though, and it It sure looked interesting, although it could have been one of these Moabs, but it did burrow deep, and then you saw an initial flash, and then there was it really did look like a TAC, but who knows for sure. The only way you can really tell is to get some samples and then find out where the nuclear bomb fuel, they can trace it to the exact location that it was developed. There's some signature that they can find. But, you don't hear much more about that, so who knows what that's all about. And it was a one-time deal. It wasn't like a flurry. But what they really mean is an all-out attack. And if it was me over there, a good thing I'm not running things. I already would have taken out the Fifth Fleet. I would have done that years ago. But if it was me over there, I wouldn't take this shit. But, you know, that's why I'm not in politics, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit radical that way. And but the thing is, it does put it into perspective. And if it is true that he said that, then what happened is Saudi Arabia then, instead of backing the Muslim Brotherhood with money, and then the U.S. said they would no longer back the Egypt, so Saudi Arabia came in and backed the military in Egypt, hoping, and this is what Hussein was bringing out, hoping that this would dissuade Russia from blowing them to smithereens if the crazy kite Jew neocons hold sway and get their way. It's starting to look like the left-wing Marxist egalitarian kite Jews, which there's a lot more of them than the Lubavitch or right-wing racist type, quote-unquote racist.
Well,
I hate that word.
Well, you know, people are going to see the leading Democrats out there pushing full steam ahead for this, though. Who is it exactly that is out there on the left wing that is opposing this? Is it just the run-of-the-mill left-winger, or is it anybody in significant power?
There are – actually, it does include some obvious neocons, too, like Michael Wiener, Michael Savage, said it would be a huge mistake. But mostly it was the left-wing Jews that were coming out against it, and there's more left-wing Jews than right-wing Jews. So, I mean, they are naturally commies. You know, it's hard for them to, you know, break through and become neocons. Of course, they're Trotskyites anyway, but the thing is that – excuse me?
No, they could be neocons.
Neocons, right.
Well, you know, did you see this story that apparently Hollywood is not coming out against this war, even though they don't support it, unlike how they did against Bush with those wars when they were openly against it. The reason they're not doing so, and this was explained by Ed Asner with the HollywoodReporter.com, the reason that Hollywood and the left wing Hollywood actors out there, like Matt Damon and all the rest, George Clooney, all these clowns, is because they don't want to feel anti-black. Because going against Obama and the administration, that could be construed as being anti-black. So they're not going to oppose this openly because a black man is doing it. That's the story that I'm getting. That's ridiculous.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, this guy Hussein, he puts it so far on the actual money transfers. Oh, there was something else too. The actual money transfer to the military, the secular military, against the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. And of course, you know, the Arab Spring, the whole thing. That's a Mossad, CIA, and also I guess this guy Prince Bandar in Saudi Arabia is in cahoots with the Mossad. But that whole Arab Spring thing was a left-wing sort of developed operation. That was George Soros and his people,
yeah.
But it all comes from the top. And,
no, the color revolutions, don't seem to be just one-sided or the other, though I have to agree with you, the tactics – and the messaging is very left wing. You know, the Twitter revolution, getting people mobilized, the democracy. We want democracy. They use those talking points to try to instigate revolution against the governments that they seem to control in the first place, though, which seems a little bit strange.
But the bottom line appears to be the same old kaiju god, money. And apparently money and control through money.
And you know,
and
what,
apparently
I have to say,
Saudi Arabia. Go ahead.
I have to say that a lot of times I think we miss the anti-white aspect to this. As we've been bringing up here at Renegade, Mike has mentioned, you know, all of these adventures in these different countries where, you know, the multicultural armies of the West are being sent to kill Middle Easterners. Well, this is causing millions upon millions upon millions of Middle Easterners, Arabs, to flood into European lands because these same people who are waging the war are also at the controls of the gates, the immigration gates, lifting them right up, rolling out the red carpet and saying, hey, we've got a good life for you over here.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
I
it's
agree.
A multi-pronged and, attack in so many ways.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they don't do – it's like I say about them in general, on any important question – the kaijus aren't on the left or the right. They're on every side. Sometimes there are more than two sides to a question,
well,
and you'll find them
on
every
Jewish
side.
They're on the Jewish
well,
side.
Well, yes, exactly. But I mean from different predicates. From
of
different
course,
predicates.
Of course.
And
yes.
Now the thing I did want to mention, the last thing about this last 15, 20 minutes of Imran Hussein, is he said the other thing that the Saudis did along with when the West, when the U.S. essentially said or threatened or actually did stop funding Egypt because the Muslim Brotherhood was ousted, then the Saudis came in and funded the secular military. But the other thing they did is, I can hardly believe this, you know, that's why I have to see a second source. But the other thing they said is, we will start selling our oil in all currencies. That would immediately destroy the dollar and kill the U.S., whatever is left of the U.S. economy, and we would have cannibal. You know what would happen if that happens. Once that happens,
that,
we
expect
that
seems to be the reason.
Someday.
That seems to be the reason for Saddam going down, right? Wasn't he going to use the euro? He started using the euro in 2001 or 2000.
I don't know if he did.
He made the threat to. And it seems like any of these leaders, Gaddafi, they'll go shake hands yep. with him. And, you know, if he's not bowing down enough, you know, it seems that they're willing to just completely take them out. And it's brutal. They're turning these countries into terrible, terrible places. And it seems to be a lot of it is for profit and for control and to take out any threats. And so they're liberating these places with bombs for humanitarian reasons and really destroying these places and radicalizing all of the occupants against the West, offering them to come over and live among white people as well. Oh, great, great for them up in Sweden where they get to rape them all, get free housing and free education. It's an absolute sickening shame at so many different levels. But you know, it's something that I think it is relevant because of its implications, mm-hmm. I guess, to say the least. But there are so many things that we're being attacked with here at the home front, let's say, and it's. You know, it's hard for a lot of people, a lot of nationalists, to even care much about what's going on in those lands when they realize the horrors that happened to their people after World War II. I'm going to be having Thomas Goodrich on the show on Monday. Hmm. We'll talk about that. It's terrible. It's still going on to this day. They're opening up the southern border and just flooding us with millions upon millions upon tens and tens and tens of millions of the world's number one country for obesity, its occupants, the Mexicans. Yep. We're, you know, it's a war that's being waged against us without even having to drop the bombs from the drones.
Oh no, they. Well, it's a fait accompli, though. It's over. I mean, America's over. It's there's no saving whatever was there. There were some good aspects to America. There really were. Although the kaiju has had his hands in it almost from the get-go, and in a big way, from the mid-1850s on. But one last thing I want to mention about this Imran Hossein thing is he has said all most of this stuff before, and he says what's happening is it's gone from Pax Britannica, which is about a 200-year deal, maybe a little less, a little more, to Pax Americana, which was, what, 40, 50, 60 years, maybe if you include after World War I, say 80 years.
Yeah.
And now what they're going to is Pax Judaica.
Yes.
And that's the bottom line. That's what they're looking for. But as far as white people, how does this affect white people? Well, number one, the karma that this country, whether it stays together as a contiguous polity or not, the karma is so bad here that, and us being white people that let all this happen, we really did. I mean, not us personally, but we didn't fight it like we should have.
Oh, it's been done in our names. And it's been done with our money, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's attached to us.
There's another aspect, too. A Marine, and you've probably seen this, maybe you haven't, put on a YouTube, and he explained that the Marines now are predominantly non-white. Predominantly non-white, like over 50%. And I would suspect that the other services aren't that bad, but they are. There are much higher proportions of non-white than you would hope for. So that makes the military another burgeoning problem. People that look for the military to do a coup d'etat and all this kind of stuff, you may get what you wish for, but I don't think you'd like it because that military is not really pro-white anymore. They are at the top. But most of those people at the top have been compromised. Control files on anybody, flag officers and maybe some field grade officers too, control files all over the place. So,
well, that's a good point. There are people from other countries, Mexicans, all sorts of people of different nationalities who are in the United States military simply to gain citizenship. It's a path to citizenship for them. So when people are talking about this question 46, which is whether or not you would fire upon American citizens if ordered to do so, this is completely irrelevant. These people might not even speak English as their third language. They don't really care. They're getting a paycheck. They're getting power. They don't like us. They've been indoctrinated with incredible amounts of hate against us. I do think that perhaps a certain percentage of the military, if this was to go on, would come over to a pro-white side. I really do think a number of them would. And if a few people at high levels did so, I think they'd take a significant amount of men with them. But let's think about what has actually happened in the United States in the past when pretty much the militarized presence of the federal government has been brought out against white people who have just desired to be left alone. For example, Randy Weaver, who had his wife Vicky and his son killed by the world's best sniper team, allegedly, who obviously knew what they were doing. His son was shot in the back, his 14-year-old mm-hmm. son, and his wife was shot in the forehead. And
yep.
Lon
Horiuchi.
They got him. He went to court, had to serve 6 months for not appearing in court. That's all he got, and that's how much they mobilized against him. They had tanks rolling out. They were building bridges. It is incredible what they're willing to do to people like you and I and the listeners out there who don't want to go along with their schemes, who stand up against them, and especially they do not like white racialists. So this actually seems to – and yes, an interesting point about that incident as well is that they actually brought out a robot, mm-hmm. he was charged with originally with having sawed off two shotguns and sold them to an informant. This was a completely entrapment. But they actually had a robot go up to his cabin on the top of Ruby Ridge there. And people need to look into this. It's a very important story. Ruby Ridge went up to the top with a robot with a sawed-off shotgun. This was decades ago, and then they were bringing out robots in the United States to deal with somebody who didn't show up to court, who only served 6 months. They actually, for the first time ever, the FBI issued rules of engagement where they said that any adult man, which obviously it meant his boys who were not over the age of 18, any adult with a firearm is fair game. They can and should be shot. And the whole story is disgusting. And I don't agree with his, Randy's religious views, or perhaps even a few other things. But this is just such a glaring example of what they'll do to people like us. They have their way. If they have their way, how they have done it, they've terrorized, they have murdered, and. Yeah. You know, it's something that is a reality, not just a hypothetical. If in the future they, initiate their communist schemes of persecuting all of us and coming after us, they've done it. They're doing it, and that's why we've got to do something about it. It's been long overdue, in my opinion.
Oh, long overdue. And as far as the military shooting on white or any U.S. citizens. It's been done often in the past, and one of the glaring examples was the West Virginia Mine Wars in 1921 or 1922. Over 10,000 rounds were shot between the military and the miners, and finally the miners gave up and the whole deal. But many people were killed. Don't worry, the military mind will follow orders, at least the lower ranks. That's why our only hope in the military. Usually the only ones that are worthwhile even thinking about are the field grade officers. Once you get it at the flag level, you're already bought and paid for, at least to some degree. At the very least, you are got to reconnect here. You are waiting for your pension. That's the thing Tom Metzger always got pissed off about. He talked to these generals, and they'd go right along with it, but then you want them to do something and say, "Well, I'd lose my pension." it's either gullibility or greed, that brings us down. And so don't think you're going to turn the military, at least don't go on that basis. It could be that individual units under command of a major, lieutenant, colonel, maybe a captain, maybe one field grade, high-level field grade person, but company grade, but I wouldn't count on it at all. So that's why I still believe lone wolf is the best policy. But burrow in, though. That's what I mean. Burrow in. Don't get the tats if you've got them. At least, let your hair grow out and learn, and burrow in. And but one guy we need our lightning rods, and one guy that's doing that right now is Craig Cobb up in Leith, North Dakota. And I think
I listened to your show with him. I listened to your show. It was a good show.
Oh, thank you. And
it was hard to hear him on Carolyn Yeager's show. His connection isn't very good, but I think I was able to hear him a little bit better on your show. And I like what he's doing. I've considered throwing in my application with him.
Yeah, and let me just as an aside on the audio. I always I have an automatic. I called you via Skype. That's why it's 661 area code. That's usually Skype, or it often is. And there's a free Skype recorder that allows you. They call it stereo, but it allows you to separately record the incoming and the outgoing. Well, right there, if you have that problem, and I always go through and correct quality, or usually there's a volume difference. A significant volume difference. So that's what I do. I go in and correct that. And if you guys, by the way, I'm not video. I tried video. I just can't handle it. You need a high power game type floor tower computer to really do good video work. However, I can match second for second and millisecond for millisecond audio. So if you need corrected audio, I can do my best. And if you can give me the audio, I can work on audio. And if you happen to use Skype, I can tell you where to get this MP3 recorder and how to use it. That really makes it simple to have a two-way conversation, to have it leveled out. It becomes problematical if you have three people, like two on one side and one on the other or more. Then you can get into problems, but one-on-one, it's great.
Well, Wolf, let's actually talk about this idea of organizing in communities, whether in the United States or in European lands, as this has been a discussion point recently among some people over at Renegade Tribune and on these shows. And, you know, the idea of this Cobbville, Craig Cobb and his land up in North Dakota, and how other people can do this in other places, and just, you know, what we might want to take into consideration before we jump into one of these endeavors. Mm-hmm. I think it's an important conversation to have because I see a lot of people out there wanting something like this, and I'm right there with them. But just a short song here, 2.5 minutes, and we'll be right back for this Renegade Roundtable. Kyle Hunt. I've got Wolf Wall Street with me. This idea of what we should do moving forward, stay where we are, go lone wolf, join up with other people. I mean, there are a lot of options out there, and I think maybe it's just whatever's best for any people out there. I think that if we were to organize in one place in any large number, they would really infiltrate and try to destroy any way they could, either, you know, through morale to begin with, but very well just bomb and shell and destroy, murder.
I agree.
I think in smaller numbers, it could be more successful, different family units, family and friend units living together in somewhat isolated places, trying to get some self-sufficiency. I think that could be more successful. I'd have to say, though, I do like the idea of, I don't know if you've ever read David Lane's Katie Rebel. I like the idea of the Kinsland. I think that would be amazing. And then there's another option, which is for anybody that's got the ability to try to find some refuge abroad, whether up in Iceland, if you're a journalist, right? Because they protected Bobby Fischer, right? They're a place that has taken steps to throw out their bankers. It's a pretty white area. Whether people try to go over to Russia, there are some places, but the question is whether or not a lot of us would even be welcome. European countries seem much more willing to give welcome to all of the non-white hordes over us. Precedence, to them over, say, people from South Africa who are trying to flee genocide there. At a certain point, at what level does it get bad enough in the United States with the violence against white people and the anti-white genocide and all the poisons in the food and all of the disgusting media? At what point does it just get bad enough that we say we can't even live here anymore and leave? But there are arguments against this. I'm going to cover this in an article, but there are arguments against it. Urban Jungle Girl brought up we have the most guns of anybody in the world. There's a lot of possibility here. It's the belly of the beast.
Well, it's the biggest problem they've got is the number of guns we've got. And understand this. This government hasn't had more than a 30 or 40% rating at any time in the last few decades, and at least not at the hot points. And right now it's down around, 10 or 15%? I'm guessing that it's the same thing overseas in those countries, and that it's kaiju money control of the politicians, the ones that pass the laws and control the military and the private mercenaries, which is the big thing, the big gorilla in the room that there's their whole card. In case the military gets out of line, they'll just bring in their guys and wipe out the top levels of the military. So
very good point.
This is a big problem, and that's why Pastor Bob Miles always had this one saying, and I don't know if it was original with him, but he said, "We march separately, but we will strike together." And by that I mean, the reason I bring that up is Craig's doing his thing, and I would suggest to people, let it pan out into this big show that's going to take place in about 2.5 weeks on September 21st, 22nd. See how many people show up. It looks like the NSM people are going to show up, and maybe in quite a few number. So that would be really good. I mean, whatever else you may think about those folks, they put their boots on the ground visible. And that's one of our aspects. Our other aspect should be, if you've got a good job now, keep your mouth shut and maybe take a proxy server when you come to these sites. We need you out there. We need you to burrow in, and we also need you to fund us with that nice salary you're getting. Instead of tithing to a church 10%, we'll just take half of that. 5% would be great. And, that kind of thing. And also, by burrowing in, you can get intelligence. You can be a wonderful intelligence resource. This kind of intelligence is it's priceless. There's two types of intelligence that are used today. It's by operatives out in the field, which I'm talking about here, and then there's open source, which is probably, taking a look overall, is the best form of intelligence there is, the stuff that's out there for free. You just need to profile it properly. But
Strapper is a bunch of crap. That's why they come to places like this.
Yeah, but that's why I say we all have our different input. We all have our different ways. Some people are lightning rods, like Craig Cobb is a wonderful lightning rod, so as Tom Metzger is, great lightning rods. And I just want to see what happens up there. I don't even want to tell you what I think, because let's just let it pan out. Let's let it pan out up there. And those that want to go up there, apparently Craig has a donor who is will pay gas fare, not flights or anything like that, but will pay gas fare up to a certain amount, within reason. But so, folks, you want to get up there, and that's about 2 weeks. And I guess the crew is going to be there on the 22nd of September. And interestingly, that's when NSM people said they were going to be there to help put up flags. Well, they better get there a few days early. But he wants to put up all these flags. And people are trying to talk him out of putting up Swazis. And the reason for that isn't that it isn't our wonderful symbol, but it's just too shocking, not for the TV crews, but for the locals and the people that had, husbands, grandparents, parents that fought in World War II, it's going to take them decades, if ever, to get rid of the crap that's in their head. So why, you know, why push that? But these other flags, like the Creator flag or something like that, that'd be great.
I've already thought of the flag I would, you know, want to fly if I went up there. Still considering it, you know, nothing definite. But I just wanted to put out that many people have the Turner Diaries vision of the future as the greatest hope in their minds. And there's an alternative, and many alternative ways that this could pan out. And one of the ways that David Lane had imagined in KD Rebel was that the people in Kinsland, basically Aryans in the woods, you know, with some weapons, kind of left to do their own thing, kidnapping some Aryan women from the terrible society that they were born into, all of that. But the way it ends is in a chapter called From Russia with Love. And this this chapter basically tells about how nationalists in Europe, in particular in Russia, are successful, are able to isolate the United States. Everything basically comes to a halt in the United States. All those people that's been so dependent upon the system either have to flee, maybe flee back to Mexico. They have to fight it out. They have to, they're just going to die off. While those Aryans who had made preparations, who had gone off to, you know, simpler lives, were able to, you know, perhaps, you know, it doesn't actually tell what happens years down the line, but perhaps resurge after all of the turmoil ends, after this system has collapsed. Now, I just wanted to also go to the call board here. Somebody's been waiting for some time. We've got a 724 area code. Hello, you are on the air. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Kyle. Urban.
Welcome.
How are you?
The star of the Blitzkrieg broadcast, pulling in those big numbers. Wow, people really love that show. So thanks so much for putting your opinions out there.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. It really was a lot of fun, and I'd do it again. I just wanted to say you were talking about you know, communities, and we touched on that when we talked on Monday, and it was something that I would probably like to address further at some point, because it's a kind of a pet of mine. And so what I want to say is that, you know, it's not necessary to actually, you know, form a community and, you know, hang out black suns and, you know, Nazi flags and whatever. You can be racialist, and you don't have to say anything, but you can go out and, you know, like I said, within families, and this is what I like, that families form family kind of communities, that everyone in the family, because they're family, they sell everything that they have. They go out and they buy a lot of land, and then they build houses for each family member. These are the kinds of communities that that I've known about in my life that were successful, where little schools could be started, and where you could have a kind of a community garden, and you could do many, many things. And it doesn't have to be, you know, something that you have to hide, or you have to be afraid of whatever. I mean, it's, people do it, and it's a very simple thing, but it is it's very successful. And so it's my preferred way of community living, and it's the only thing that even makes sense in terms of the word community. I mean, because what the heck does that word mean anyway? I mean, in this culture, it doesn't have any meaning at all. You know, you're living with a bunch of strangers everywhere you go. Something else that you were talking about were people leaving the country, and through the 90s, and part of, you know, the first part of this decade, so many people were going to Costa Rica. That was kind of the hot place to go. And Costa Rica is beautiful, and, you know, I got that, but so many people were going there, and now Nicaragua wants to start a war with Costa Rica and take half the country. So, you know, leaving the country is, you know, it's kind of a dicey business. And, you know, I I don't know. I mean, we're not in the United States. See, we really have always been the slaves. We aren't like the Europeans who get automatically 6 weeks of vacation every year. We're lucky if we get 1 or 2 weeks. People don't generally make enough money to be able to travel extensively, the general population. So if they do travel, they travel within the United States, so there's no exposure to living overseas and that sort of thing. So then there's no impetus to learn how to speak foreign languages. And so, you know, so we're limited in very many ways, and we limit ourselves too. But what I wanted to say about overseas was Russia has always been very attractive to me, so much so that, and I don't even know that I knew when I was doing this and when I studied Russian in college why I was studying Russian, but that's what I studied. But it was a very difficult language. That's really why I thought I was studying it, but there's some affinity there. But there's some real attractiveness to Russia for me, but I'm not going there. But you know, if I had to go somewhere, I think I might think about that. But I don't know. So you know, the idea is about community, things to do for solutions, how to live, how do we live, and how do we address, you know, the ways that we live now as opposed to the ways that we have lived in the past, and we just, those are the things that we need to talk about.
Yeah. You know, incidentally, I studied early Russian history my first year in college. It was a really boring class, to be honest. It was, an 80-year-old professor or something. But some of it was very interesting, especially the slideshow of, all of the buildings over there in Russia and the palaces. And, some of their history was unique because
Russian history,
you know, it's not like any of the rest of Europe so much.
No, it's Russian history is actually very fascinating. It just depends on how you approach it and, what books you happen upon and that sort of thing. But, I don't know. So it's just, this is just an area that I would, I think that we need to talk about or address it in some way and, in terms of solutions. And so that's what I had to offer for this call.
People think that it's blasphemy of some sort for us to say that we should leave America. And I understand where they're coming from. But to be honest, with the problems that we're facing in terms of, say, black violence or potential for more black violence, federal violence against us, subtle forms of violence against us in terms of just the foodstuffs. These are things that make it very unattractive to, say, raise a family here, to even want to be around here. Now, I know that there are some parts of the country that are better than others and some great land that is left. I love the country, the actual physical landscape of America. It's a very beautiful place, very diverse, incredible land. And there are some great white people still here, but it's not like it is in Europe and other places. The most white people here, and they're not Aryans, but most white people here are obese, are stupid, are completely brainwashed, and it makes you want to just give up and get out of here because it seems that everything is stacked against us here.
Yeah, it does seem like that, but you know, okay, so there's that. And then on the other hand, there is this. This is, I think, that this is where the battles will be fought. They'll be fought in this country. And so, okay, do we stay? Is it worth it? Do we fight here? Is this where we make stands? I mean, if we go somewhere else, we just wither away and, you know, everything sort of blows off. Blows away, poof, and it's all gone. Or, you know, do we stay here? Do we, you know, try to do something? And do we try to make a stand? Albeit, you know, lone wolf, whatever, you know, gorilla, whatever. Is that how we do it? I think maybe that's the approach. I think there may be enough good people in this country, although it's a big country. We just don't know all the people. I mean, I know there are good people out there. I just don't know many of them.
Right.
And I think we all face that dilemma, and which makes us very sad and depressed. Because where are these damn people that are so good that we want to save? You know, they're out there, but where the hell are they? So if we stay here, you know, are we waiting for the Kali Yuga and going to make our stands here, and is that where we are? And maybe that's it. Maybe that's why we're here.
Well, the Kali Yuga could certainly be ended right here, and should be ended right here this new world. Do you want to end the new world order? Let's start in the new world over here in America, and let's go back to the old world lands in some ways. I'm not saying we should give up a white presence in America at all. I haven't come to any conclusion on that. But there is a very strong attraction to the OWL, the old world lands. It's something that perhaps would
actually
be
strategic. There could be an extension. I mean, if we make a stand here and if we almost can't say win, but maybe we do. And if we win here, then maybe we can take back the old world lands. Maybe we can.
Or if they win there, we're able to do it over here. Really, oftentimes what happens throughout history and what we've seen, you know, with the revolutions between the American Revolution, the French Revolution, and I'm not saying either one of these was necessarily good, especially not the French Revolution, but...
Yeah, sure.
And the Arab Spring, what happens is some people show that something can be done, and then others say, well, they can do it, why can't we?
Yeah. Well, something's got to break somewhere. Something's got to break. And I've got to hope that it's here, although I don't know where, but I think if we talk about solutions and we present ideas, and I think we have enough people that think like you guys and like I do, and I think it's growing. I think there's a movement. I think that people are, I think they're studying and they're reading and they're getting ideas, and I think that the horizons are opening and we're starting to see a vista. And so, you know, the trees aren't blocking our view as much as they once were. So I think there's hope, and so that's my hope, and so we go from there.
I think it's very important that what we're doing right now with Renegade Broadcasting is located right here in the United States, and that what we're going to be doing with this road trip is going to be showing people in the United States, albeit a small section of it, we're going to be showing that these are normal people. You might have seen the video of the communist turned whatever, Westerner, Yuri something. He gave some speeches, some talks decades ago about techniques for communist infiltration. And he mentioned normalization. You know, they're going to normalize the situation.
Is that a KGB agent? Okay, yeah.
Yes. And he talks about normalization.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
What we have to do in our lands. We have to normalize what we are, what we represent, and really bring this to a very, not just the public attention. We shouldn't be seeking just mainstream attention. What we should be seeking
who wants
is
that?
Right.
Who
we should be
that?
Seeking people en masse, just throwing off the chains of even just the language that they're using, as you mentioned, battling with words. Being afraid to say certain words because they might offend somebody.
Right. Unchain, unplug. I mean, just, to stand on your head for a while. I don't know. You know, do something. Do everything backwards. Walk backwards. Talk backwards. I don't know. Do something. You know?
Yeah, well, Wolf, you still there?
Yes, I am.
What do you think about this conversation we've been having concerning, you know, staying in America or going abroad? You've mentioned the people who have left America. This was in a past roundtable when you were on. People who have left America thus far are pretty much the people who could afford to do so, and they might not be all that much better off depending on where they are.
Well, I come from the point of view always of the working class. So we don't, generally speaking, unless we work our way up and we become a true productive working class CEO or something like that, and there are a few of those, but the working class doesn't have the kind of money that can just flip out and go even down to Costa Rica. Or the latest one is Robbie Noel has, I guess he's living in Mexico now, but even he is a little bit higher level than working class. He paid about $250,000 for his condo down there, but he said other places it would be $500,000 up in California, but that's a lot of money. Even on a mortgage,
Ventura.
That's a lot of money.
Jesse Ventura went down to Mexico for a number of years, high now down there. So interesting how some people are fleeing to Mexico while the hordes are coming into America.
I think a general rule, a real general rule, is if you're older, kids are grown up, and you're working class, I wouldn't even think about going overseas if you had the money. I mean, your networks are here. You've developed networks over decades and decades and decades. And those networks are really difficult to rebuild in another place. You might be able to do it, but still you got to count on 5 years to have any trust in it.
Well,
but if you're young, I think it's a consideration. However, the difference between I see between Europe and America, Europe has true, honest-to-goodness diversity, true cultural regions. And unless you go to a cultural region and you can speak the language and possibly have some relatives there, I wonder how accepted you will be. It might take even more than it would at some other country, like even Mexico. It might take 10 years to develop the kind of networks that you could rely on. So that's a consideration. I'm not saying don't do it, but that's different. Because that's why a thing like the Jobbik Party in Hungary and the Golden Dawn in Greece, the reason they can get together and operate is because they're cousins, they're neighbors, they're co-thinkers. And, you know, you're not going to get that if you go in there as a, let's say I'm half German, half Brit. And so if I were to go over there, where would I fit in? You mean you're British? We hate the British. You mean you're German? We hate the Germans. You know, it's they don't necessarily hate them anymore, but they're both Britain and Germany defiled Greece at various times in the 20th century. So that's a consideration.
Well,
but having said that, I think if you're young, you give it much more serious thought, because your first thought as a family, man or woman, is your children.
Right.
So to bring up kids in this sea of evil, I don't even call it the sea of the people anymore. I call it a great sea of evil.
Sure.
And it's more polluted here than any place else in the world, except maybe Britain and a few other disgusting countries.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's a consideration. But I think if you're older, stay here, hold your ground if you can. Maybe move a little bit out. Maybe look for a pocket. I used to say look for hard points in cities. I consider a hard point where you can get a group of people that may not even think alike, but they're all white, and you might be able to cajole some of them to think your way, or just very subtly pre-qualify all the time from a lone wolf perspective before you talk turkey at all. But the concept there is to get hard points and defensible hard points. That's something to think about for older folks. But if you're younger, you have to consider all options, because you're going to want to have a family. And, you know, the way the HUD, that latest HUD pronouncement went, they're just going to drop Somalis in wherever.
Yep.
So
well, for the young people, though,
like,
How can you leave the country and let folks like your grandparents get brutalized by these thugs? How can you leave your parents to be defiled by them? If we can't extract ourselves entirely, then we're going to leave the rest to slaughter.
See, that's my whole point about, you know, family communities. Sell everything. You know, everybody's scattered. You know, they all have property. Sell all your property. Sell it all. Pull your money. Go buy a big chunk of land somewhere so that you all have enough space, so that you're all together, so that you can stay together, because that's what families ultimately want to do. I mean, not all families can do that. Not all families are solid, but a good, solid family group. I'm talking about aunts and uncles and, you know, nephews and nieces and mothers and fathers and that whole kind of thing. You know, I'm talking about a nice group of people. You know, maybe it turns out to be, you know, five families or six families. That's perfect. It's lovely. And that can be put together easily. Smart people have always done this. They buy enough land so that their children, when they grow up, can build a house right next to them, and a house right next to that, so that when the parents get older, the children are right there, and so they insure it. It's a very smart way to live. It's thinking communally, and people don't do that. We don't do that. We send everybody, throw them out to the hinterlands.
And yeah, well, everyone wants to leave their hometown. That's their goal when they're young.
Well, but yeah, but you know, not, if the family is strong and if everything is done right, I mean, especially now with people homeschooling and things are changing, and so this is a desirable model, and you know, something that I could talk a lot about, but
well, Urban,
I won't
I'd
hear.
I'd love to hear you talking more about it, but we have a few more callers on the line and just
All right.
A little over 20 minutes left in the show. I'd like for both you and Wolf to obviously stay on, but want to bring on a few more folks here?
Okay, sure. But Wolf, I agree with you about old people staying in the country.
well, the young people have to be there to protect them. That's really a responsibility that we might need to take, because I don't want to see older folks being brutalized.
If I might say, it could be such that hopefully larger families, four or more children, some would stay and some could go.
Sure.
You know, and that would be a good partial resolution to that problem.
Yeah.
And if they should go at all. I'm just saying that the only people that I believe should consider it are the
young. I agree with what you said. I just totally agree. So just say
right.
that.
Well, let's go to 510 area code. Hello, caller. You are on the air. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Yes, I'm calling from the belly of the beast in the Silicon Valley, Fremont, California. And I just want to say a couple of things. First off, I'm glad that, Kyle, you finally were able to break off and start this Renegade Radio. I think it's great. Continue to do this.
Thank you.
I'm going to support you totally. Listen to your Blitz Creek program with Urban Girl. Excellent. She had great points, lots of good, insightful stuff. And yes, this is going on in this country, and it's been going on for about 25 to 30 years, especially here in California. They've really, really made it hard for white people in this area to live. It's interesting. I went to my local gym today, and it's gotten so bad that I'm in my steam room just relaxing, trying to unwind from a week's work. And I've been barraged. And this happened a couple of times. People have come into the steam room and started spouting off their political rhetoric regarding the Muslim Brotherhood and all this stuff, almost wanting to incite whites for some reason. And I refuse to do it, although I would love to, but I can't even imagine what that would be like, because they just want to, it's a very fascist way of thinking. They talk about fascism, but there is a fascism. And, we have to really start thinking about, you know, people that are actually been living in this country generation after generation. The Europeans, the whites that have lived here, have to decide where we're going to go with anything anymore, because we are being overrun and inundated by all of this, and it's all breaking down the family, and it's all killing all of us.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to just say that to you guys, and I'm looking forward to you guys coming around this area. Hopefully you you do, because I'd like to come out and see you and support whatever you guys are doing. And there's a lot of people here in California who feel exactly the same way, except the problem that we're having is this is such a liberal state, such a craziness that's going on here. This is really ground zero for what is going to happen to the rest of the country in a lot of ways, unless people really, really speak out.
Well, thanks so much for calling in.
I used to live where you are. I that was in the 90s, in the early 90s, and I couldn't stand it. I had to get out of there. But so I can't imagine what it's like now. Can't.
Oh,
even
it's
imagine.
Really expensive in Silicon Valley. It's
oh,
to
yeah.
live there is incredible. To get just a one bedroom apartment. Hey, if you should get in contact with me. There's a contact form over at renegadetribune.com, and let me know how we might be able to meet up in California. I think that would be awesome. Might be around that area, so definitely get in contact. And thanks for calling in. Anything else to add?
Nothing else to add. Just keep going. There are people out here who are listening to your program and want this news, and you know, because a lot of people. They've been to one sense or another, been silenced because this whole thing has taken place for so long. And people have had enough. And when you've been browbeated so long, what do you do? Where do you go? How do you get out of that situation? And the only way that we can do this is now to come together and fight back.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm on board. Sign me up. Let's do it.
Yay.
Awesome. Thanks for the call. I really do appreciate it. We've got Bill calling in here. I think that's Bill, 414 area code. Bill, are you there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome.
You hear me?
Yes. What do you have to add?
Yeah. I get a little irritated about this European idea of fleeing.
Oh, I know you
Europe.
Do. Well, that's why I brought it up, Bill. I should have known you were going to call in. Or I was hoping you would, because you're the one who really doesn't like us even considering going over Europe. I think maybe in small numbers, sending over some ambassadors, to a certain degree, could be very beneficial. But as I said, it would be really painful to leave loved ones here to just face all of this garbage. And it does seem to be our responsibility, and it would be terrible to give up the land that our forefathers had conquered.
Yeah, well, I'm really talking about the idea of encouraging it. People that want to do that are going to do that. But the idea of encouraging it, okay, we run from where we're at, we go to the suburbs. The suburbs darken, we go to further out suburbs. Now, I can understand individuals moving out of mud-infested areas, okay, they get, you got children, they just get too bad. But we've got to remember, they don't need cowards over there that flee this situation, okay? If you speak English and you're older, it's hard to learn a new language. And if you're going to go somewhere, you need to learn their language, okay? So then you're stuck with Britain or maybe Australia, New Zealand. Britain is turning fast. You go to little places like Ireland, they're turning fast. They're going to catch up to us very quickly because they're small little countries. Not just land-wise, but population-wise.
But, Bill, here's an argument. Here's an argument real quickly concerning something like Ireland. If we were to get the Irish in America, even a small percentage of them, to go back to Ireland and to stop the Irish who are there from leaving, because they're leaving at record numbers. But if we were able to take Irish people from around the world, put them back in there, then it would be a smaller country. It's an island, so it doesn't have a border like we have with Mexico. If we were able to get a large number of white people there, some things could be done. Just how Germany benefited from being relatively small in terms of landmass and having some kind of cohesion, I think there's such a distinction between the kind of Irish national unity as compared to the American hodgepodge, melting pot type of existence we have over here. Certain instances, perhaps if we fortified places where we are having success, we would be able to then bring that kind of success back to America to a certain extent later on.
here's the problem with that, okay? If that's going to happen, it's going to happen there locally, like they're doing in Greece. It's fine to go over there, like there's an individual over there, I can't think of his name now, does some reports on the Carolyn Jaeger show. All right, that's fine to go over there, check the situation out, learn some things, report back. But we all know that the United States is the jewel in their crown, okay? No other country is going to be allowed to turn nationalist and to look out for their own people's interests without the United States destroying them, as they did with Germany. We need to take care of business here, right here in the United States, all right? Otherwise, nothing else anywhere else in the world is going to be allowed to turn white nationalist and stay that way. We've got to take care of the situation right here at home. All right? And we got to understand, when we go to these European countries, we don't have all the tools that we have here. We have somewhat more freedom of speech. We can speak about the Holocaust, all these kind of things that will get us thrown in prison over there. There's cultural differences. All right? So they're going to look at people that come over there as cowards, fleeing this situation. We don't have enough people here already, as it stands, at least that are willing to be bold.
Good point.
Without the ones who are fleeing to Europe.
That's right.
Well, an idea is that if perhaps some of our folk did leave, if the people who are really Aryan racialists did leave, the other ones would be forced almost to just wake up to the cause almost immediately. It would toughen them up, that's for sure. And it already is doing so, but I agree with you there, Bill. I think that the battle does need to be fought here, and perhaps what we could hope for is that with all of these porous borders that we have here in the United States, that some of our Aryan racialists abroad might be able to come over and help us here, because, you know, we have all of this homeland security going on over in Syria and in Libya and in Yemen and in Pakistan, or wherever, Iraq and Afghanistan, but we don't have all that much on the southern border so much. So if any Aryan racialists want to come help the cause in the United States of Jew-America, there's no better place to fight against this system.
Well, that's a better idea, but the problem with that is, and that's good, to encourage people from around the world. I don't know, it's kind of dangerous. You get into Mexico, and they're brutal with illegal immigrants that don't quickly head north and head into the United States. And it's hard to get into Canada if you're white and not Jewish. So that's the problem. Europeans trying to come here, it's very difficult. Yeah. 90% of your legal immigrants coming in here are not white. And the illegals, it's even worse. It's pretty difficult to get in here. But going the reverse way for these people that want to head to these other countries, that's difficult as well.
Right.
They're not looking in
sure.
the European Union or Australia or New Zealand for white people.
Well, all the bans are on white people everywhere. We're locked down everywhere. They're locked out. We're locked out. Yeah, sure.
Hey, Urban Jungle Girl, it's nice to talk with you.
Hey, you too.
I love that.
All right.
Song.
Well, we have a great roundtable thus far, but there is another person who's been holding for some time, so I'd like to bring them on the show. Not sure where this person's calling from, but caller, you're on the air. Who's this? Where are you calling from? Hello. Looks like a Skype number. Well, maybe they're just listening. All right, I'm going to put you back on mute there. All right, so just a little over 10 minutes left here in the live show. Bill, did you have any other thoughts on other issues that we had brought up thus far, or really were you just looking to talk about the idea of white flight abroad? You know, maybe we should consider white flight in America. You know, is that significantly different, going and concentrating in mainly all-white territories, maybe up in the Northwest, maybe in North Dakota, in Canada, or other areas? Isn't that also just white flight, which is somewhat delaying the inevitable?
Well, you know, I've mentioned this on other programs. The Northwest idea is fine as long as you just stay away from that you know, sick in the head Covington, all right? Go ahead and go out there. He doesn't bring up Idaho. He's up there in, I think, Washington State, and then you got Oregon, very liberal areas. And if you want to find work, Boise is the place to go. It's a 90-plus percent white city. He never brings that up. And the economy relative to the rest of the country is very good there. But, yeah, that's fine for people that want to go to the Northwest. People that want to go, there's some libertarian types, you know, it's not a racial thing, but that are white, they're heading to New Hampshire. But, you know, so people can do their own little thing. It'd be nice if some people go and help Cobb out. But, and then others stay where the hell they're at, you know, so there's a mix, you know, a mix of things. There's no sense giving up the Midwest that is, other than the cities, overwhelmingly white. You know, the Southwest might be mostly gone, except for, hey, I don't want to irritate David in Texas. Okay, maybe they can save Texas, but the rest of it is pretty much shot to shit. All right?
Well, the problem that we face with all of this, I mean, no, in terms of, you know, where we live and where we move, is the latest HUD databasing regulation that
yes.
They are going to make sure that every area that is not 13% integrated is 13% integrated. So they've got us by the throat. And they're... What do you do with that? I mean, you know, is it boots on the ground time? Maybe.
Well,
I
what
mean,
about
Wolf
tough. Wall
that's
Street and
tough.
You know, and the Metzger approach? I hope they've actually been doing that for decades. Where I grew up, darkened because of the HUD laws that were passed. You know that you have to rent
sure,
and sell.
I know they,
okay,
I know they
and then
have
I moved somewhere else. This
well,
has been going on for decades.
But that's what we do. We keep running. We have to. The white people have to damn sell everything, pack up, and get the hell out and move somewhere else. What the hell? I mean, really?
Well,
I mean, why do we have to keep? We have to keep running because they keep coming, and that's what we do. We run.
But
that's
I think
that,
what Obama's talking about is just kicking this up. You know,
yeah.
That's great. That's great, I think. I want to hear what Wolf Wall Street says, because this slow death is no good, okay? We need to kick it up. And
well,
I
it's
going to
become like
that.
South Africa, then. If that's going to be the kicked-up version, it's going to be Mandela time over here.
That might
be got
cool.
A black leader.
Boots on the damn ground.
Well, South Africa might be too far gone. From my research, I still don't see those people hardening up. They're still too screwed up into the Christ insanity. I don't know how many times I hear about reports of some family being slaughtered, and I got videos up about this, and tortured and murdered after they just came home from church where their preacher was telling them to, you know, return the hatred with love, just got done going to help with some charity to help the niggers, you know. Those
sure.
people, I think they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have one more caller here, so I'm going to try to bring them on before the show goes into the archives here. 206, hello, who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, guys, this is Montag. I just got to say, when you read The March of Titans, historically, white people have been eradicated from Egypt and other places historically through miscegenation and labor and using black labor and mixing with the races. So this is what's going on right now, right here. And I don't know if the United States might be lost already to race mixing. Because this is what's gone on historically, and this is the mistakes that our people have made. And look at Israel. No miscegenation there. Okay?
Let's
But
no,
Jews
do miscegenate though. Jews always miscegenate. That's why they have, you know, there are different laws as to who can be a Jew, and it comes through the mother. They've miscegenated in order to form strategic advantages with different racial groups, and I think they've definitely done that with Aryans to our detriment, for sure.
Yeah.
Actually,
they don't let the mud mix with them, And what I'm saying is that we're being destroyed,
right.
and they're preserving their heritage over there.
Actually, just so you know, the Reformed and the conservative, accept either male or female lines. So even that is a gray area. They are not a race. They're a mongrelization. They are what I call, if you look at race as being blood, they are blood poison. They are anti-human. They are not, I don't consider them part of the human species.
Exactly, but they're perpetrating miscegenation among the white races.
Oh yeah.
While they don't allow miscegenation, Christians can't marry Jews in Israel. Mm-hmm. So, this is my concern, that demographics is destiny, and we're being destroyed. If you look at history, people, look at what's happened to every white civilization throughout history. They've mixed with the other races, and they've died out.
How about this? Our weak-willed people in the white race will do this, and then it will be very easy to determine who is not an Aryan and who is. Now, of course, the mixed race children are then more attractive to our Aryans, and this perpetuates the race mixing. But what I'm getting towards is that in many instances, maybe it's good that these obese, fat, you know, just disgusting, retarded white women get their gene pool as far away from us as possible. And maybe it will breed something of a more intelligent a Negro with a higher IQ that is not so violent and prone to chimping out in large degree. I don't like all of this miscegenation. That's for sure. It's sickening to me, especially because it seems they're going after our prime women. They're in the targets, and that's why they're putting forth, of course, all these examples. You know, Heidi Klum with Seal, who I think somebody said it beat her recently. Not surprising. It's like Nicole Simpson with OJ. When are they going to get the friggin' idea?
Campfire Girl just said Negroes with higher IQs is an oxymoron.
But they're more of a threat to us. The Negroes that...
Good point, yeah.
The Negroes that are better, you know, that aren't your typical hood, you know, type, they're more of a problem to us. That makes
magic.
It harder for us to, you know, distinguish. We need that hard line so that, we can get people to understand the situation. They're more likely to be able to race mix with our women. They're more of a threat.
Those are the magic Negroes. They're called magic Negroes.
All these countries in the past, or empires that have darkened and where the white race, you know, the whole Middle East, North Africa. The difference today is all of our lands are being flooded. So we have no choice. We're either going to go down, and I mean total, entire genocide, or I would call it racial suicide if we don't fight, everywhere. So we've got no choice. This is different than anything in the past. We either wake the fuck up and fight, or we're gone. And anyways, I got to go. I'm actually starting a show here in a couple of minutes.
Can I stream it when we finish?
Excuse me?
You're starting a show. Can I stream it when we finish here with the roundtable?
Sure. All right. Thanks a lot. And you guys know I love Renegade Broadcasting. You're the guys who made me. I'm doing one on Talk Show also. And it was because of that, you guys, and then that guy, the German guy who's doing the German ancestry program. In fact, tonight's was called Lone Wolves and Berserkers. If he can do it, I can do it. So,
awesome.
It's called the Might is Right Power Hour. Look it up on TalkShoe or Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, post.
All right, take care, guys.
Good to have you.
I'm on top.
All right, we've still got Urban Jungle Girl, Wolf Wall Street. And Montag, we haven't heard too much from you. Any other thoughts on the matter? I agree with what Bill just said. I was just putting forth, you know, the devil's being a devil's advocate there in terms of, you know, maybe somehow having our lower elements breeding out
might not be necessarily too bad of a thing, but it's a great point of how much of a threat their offspring are to our gene pool.
I just want to say whites, every white civilization, whites created civilization, and they've all been driven out because they've let other races move into their countries and their territory.
Yeah, and they all do
and
it because they're
happening
good.
Happening now.
Yes, Christianity, and because they're good, and because, you know, they want to help everybody. We talked about this on Monday. It's, you know, it's that mindset. It's, you know, it's the fungus of the mind in the white people through Christianity. I have no doubts about that. Warrior spirit is subdued.
It's hardcore archaeological fact. Every white race has been defeated because they've let other races live in their country, and when they become, and when you mix with them, they take over your civilization. Read about it in March of Titans.
Well, how did Europe? I definitely need to read that book. But how did Europe retain some of its ethnic purity? How was that able to happen? Was there a stand in the past? I mean, it seems like not all civilization completely fell, though Aryans had an extended territory. Only 100 years ago, we still had a very large territory and a very large percentage of the population.
60 years ago.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Kyle. Absolutely. Good point. All is not lost, but I'm saying, you know, the Greeks, the Romans, the white Egyptians,
the Babylonians.
And now us. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
look
what happened to Southern Europe with the invasion of the Moors. It has a lasting impact. And I'm not saying that those people in Southern Europe who have darker hair and complexion need to be ostracized or anything like that. I don't like how Europe is divided often against itself in any such ways. But these kinds of things will leave their footprint forever. So that's why we can't just be so flippant with our genes, as the mainstream obviously wants us to do, as it's pushing race mixing as the most enlightened, amazing thing you can possibly do. No person in their right mind would want to pass on genes that are, on average, much less intelligent if they had the real facts on the matter or knew the implications of what really they were doing in the larger scheme. And that's why we need to educate.
Race mixing is the death of white civilization, okay? And my question is America already gone?
I don't think so. Not yet. Close.
Getting close to that point. I really do think that I see these mixed babies everywhere. I see mixed people, not just babies, but mixing has been going on and is going on at incredible record levels. And when you add that into the mix, along with all of the non-white immigration, the face of this country, unless you were to take radical action and deport possibly 100 plus million people, 100 million plus is really what you would need to do in order to return some kind of ethnic purity.
Calling all boots on the ground, calling all barbarian spirit, warriors awaken, boots on the ground.
Do you know in the early 1900s, the percentage of blue-eyed children being born in the United States was 50%. 50% in the early 1900s. One out of every two children in the United States had blue eyes. Now, just consider how small that percentage is these days. It's in the low teens, if not much less when you consider all of the illegal immigrants and other factors that aren't accounted for there. Just this one trait, and you know, and again, I'm not saying that having blue eyes is any sure sign of being what we would consider an Aryan, but that is one marker that is showing just how much ground we have given in a very short span of years.
Just because, and I do believe the United States of America has been gone for about 60 years, 50 to 60, maybe 50 years, definitively with the Immigration and Civil Rights Acts. But that's the end of the white United States of America. And I think the country itself is so overextended militarily that, as I said in the past, the first major military defeat, wherever it happens, I don't care who does it or where it happens, the dollar will collapse and so will the economy. But the thing is that white Americans will still be here in significant numbers, not like South Africa, where they, I don't even know how bad it was. I think it was like 5-1. That's being 20% white and 80% not mixed for the most part, but almost all entirely black. Whereas here you've got various shades of Hispanics, and very many are white, you know, purely white, but other shades of Hispanics and mestizos and Indians, which are Mongolians, and then you've got the blacks. Well, see, that's if that indeed happens, which I think it has already happened, but if it indeed breaks apart, then we as white people have to stick together as a strong minority, because I personally, I believe we already are a minority.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And guys, and Zog, see, Zog is purposely infiltrating because they understand this history, and our people don't. But they're purposely using immigration as genocide.
Sure.
Zog is genociding white people through immigration and miscegenation. That's my argument.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, if you just read the UN Charter about genocide, what's happening to white people is in every single way genocide.
No doubt about it.
But I guess our task now is just to get the word out to the people, to our people, and bring up this reality of the white oppressed minority. And as Urban Jungle Girl brought up on our show together this past Monday, whites are the oppressed minority. And that is a good meme. And more people start to realize this, the more we will be able to actually implement a better future for ourselves. We have many things holding us back here in the United States and Europe, corrupt leaders, lands infiltrated by racial enemies, and all sorts of media controlling the minds of the masses and getting most people just to absolutely love it. And if they don't love it, just to not say anything about it because they don't want to come off as racist.
Sure.
So that is why we are normalizing our reality and making the world a little bit more racially aware. Final thoughts, anybody out there? Wolf, Urban Jungle Girl, and Montag, let's start to wrap up this conversation. I really did enjoy this Saturday night chat with all of you.
Well, thank you. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Wolf.
No, ladies first.
All right. Well, I'll just say it again. Boots on the ground. Get the message out. Whites are the oppressed minority. And wake up, white people. And get your warrior spirit. And that's our last hope.
We're not only the oppressed minority, we're the ethnically cleansed and genocided minority. Sorry.
Well, that's the process.
Wolf.
Thanks. Over and out, folks. Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you. Thanks so much for joining.
Thanks, Urban. And I will leave you with this. I think that we need all types of lightning rod upfront leaders, a Craig Cobb type who, if you know Craig and you see him there, I mean, he is a character. But he's a great white leader, a truly great white leader of a different sort. But and then we need others that wear suits and ties and are well-spoken in other ways. By the way, Craig is very well-spoken and intelligent, and the way they dissed him is just incredible. They talk about his greasy glasses. They're $400 glasses, by the way, you know. But he happened to be working around asphalt and tar, and they got a little greasy, things like that. But we know they do that. So we need Craig Cobb types. We need Tom Metzger types, a little different venue, you know. And then we need the suit tie. I actually think David Duke isn't hurting us. I mean, he has a lot of faults, of course, but so do we all. So we need that factor. And then we need business types. And then you guys going around the country, they will see the younger, particularly mid-young and younger people, will see that, hey, these guys aren't weird or crazy or even hateful so much. They just really want to separate, and ultimately they just want to save their race. They just want to keep the genetic flow going. So, and I'm not talking about the non-whites. I'm talking about the whites will see this. And sometimes if I've had a few beers or something, I go off on rants and I look back at it. I'm not ashamed of anything I've ever done in my life, but I don't want to do that again. And that's not a good meme to send out there. But we need all these different lightning rods, but these are the few. These are the few. Most people, I truly believe, should stay lone wolf as much as possible. And really, if you've already got a good job, don't risk it. Stay low-key, get a proxy server, maybe a dual proxy server, things like that, and or maybe just very sporadically go and connect, or connect locally and be very careful who you connect with locally, pre-qualify again and again, but stay low-key, burrow in. Swim in the sea of evil that we're in right now and stay alive doing it. Put on this this white wetsuit, so to speak, with Aqualung, you know, so you're breathing pure air in the sea of evil. So something like that. Anyway, I hope that makes sense. On to you.
The armor of righteousness. Hmm. All right. Montag, any other thoughts from you?
I agree with what Wolf said. Attack them from all angles, and I'm be interested in to hear how they do dual proxy servers and all that.
Just go to hidemyass.com. That's a good one, and there are other ones, Anonymous. You can put it in Google. You'll find them.
All right. Well, I think this has been a good show. I really do appreciate you guys calling in and sharing your thoughts tonight, and I appreciate all the listeners out there who joined us tonight. Stay tuned for all the good shows here at Renegade Broadcasting. Wolf, Montag, and everybody out there, good night. Gute Nacht.
Thank you.
14.
Thank you, Kyle.
Singing a shining lead for this one, on and on. Sieger, Kriegsminister gibt's.